This is the Trevor J. Brown Show. Kind enough now to be joined by author Paula Basinger Morehart. You can find out more information about Paula on the Fox Point Publishing website. That's foxpointpublishing.com/author-Paula-Morehart. Paula, thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I am fine, and thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your book, This Is the Bear. First off, I love the illustrations in the book. The bear goes on a quest to do something nice for a friend. So what was the inspiration behind this story?
It started out as a poem. My children used to love the books where you had the first line, and then you added a second line, and then you did the first two lines and added a third line, and on and on and on. And I for some reason, this is the bear with all the hair stuck in my head. And writers' minds, our minds are different. They piece things together that no one else would ever piece together. And that's how it happened. I just started finding rhyming words, and the story just came into being.
Do you have like an ongoing notebook, your writing process? When you think of an idea, do you just sort of jot it down and eventually come back to it?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have a notebook. I also have a little personal recorder that I can flip on and off with a button that I keep in my van, because I have had ideas come to me while I'm driving somewhere, and I'm like, oh, I'll remember that, and then I get to wherever I'm going, and it's gone, forget it.
But yeah.
A little recorder, I can just flip it on, make a few notes quick, flip it off, boom, we're done, and I can take it home and do whatever with it.
I love, too, that it talks about doing something nice for a friend. And I feel like in this day and age, regardless of, and I know it's more of a children's book, but I feel like a lot of adults maybe should read this book as well, because we sometimes tend to forget that, you know, just be nice to others. That's what we all want in return. So why not give that to others?
Exactly. I am a very big believer in making little ripples, because those little ripples will go out. And if you can make a difference in one person's life, those ripples will carry, and they will make a difference in someone's life. And now you've helped two people without even realizing it. I just did a giveaway here at home. I'm getting ready to move in the spring, and I have a lot of stuff I need to get rid of. And so I've advertised, and I've been giving away. I had 27 containers. No one needs this much fabric. A fabric that I gave away. I've given away flower pots and just a ton of stuff. And people are so grateful, because, like with the fabric, this was a woman that took most of it who has handicapped children. Mm-hmm. She makes their own clothing and quilts for them. And so she was just overjoyed to be able to get all this fabric for free. And that, I love that. I love the idea that something that's just been taking up space in my house is now taking up space in someone else's house, and it's useful.
Absolutely.
That to me, that's those ripples going out.
Well, that's a great cause. It's probably a good thing my wife didn't hear that, because every time she hears fabric, and she's a quilter too, she does great work. But we have enough fabric here at home. So Paula Basinger Morehart is our guest. Her Fox Point Publishing page is foxpointpublishing.com/author-Paula-Morehart, and that's Morhardt. So Paula, you have a wide range of books available on the Fox Point site. In addition to children's books, you have books with poetry, a new cookbook series. With so many lanes, does that keep writing fresh and fun for you?
Oh, most definitely. And I've got plenty of stories up in my office that I'm still working on those.
Sure.
But yeah, being able to write, and the poetry especially, that's my forte. I love writing poetry, and writing poetry about lots of different things. That's the two poetry books, Days of Days and Night Maze, is actually two of the first. There's going to be a set of three. And so it's going to be Days of Days, Night Maze, and Clear Haze. And each book has different topics, but they all still go together. So there you have it.
The covers on those books, they're absolutely phenomenal on both of them. I'm not sure who illustrated them for you, but I'm a big fan of both.
The same illustrator that did This Is the Bear, actually. She's okay. A friend of mine that does illustrations, Peggy McDowell, and I just absolutely love her work. She has to read my mind, and she does it very well.
It's good to have somebody like that where you're on the same page. So you mentioned poetry. Who are some of your favorite poets?
Oh, I was thinking about this. You know, Shel Silverstein, of course, and Walt Whitman, and then, believe it or not, Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes. Absolutely.
When I was in seventh grade, I memorized all of The Raven for a class project. I could not tell you what it is anymore, but I got through and I got an A on it. So there is that.
On the Fox Point site, in your bio, it mentions you were never brave enough to submit a book for publication until the unexpected passing of your husband in 2017. And then the next day, you lost your mother. How did you handle all of that at once? Did faith help you? Did something else help you? I mean, just that is just awful.
My faith helped me. I was numb for quite a while because there was nothing wrong with my husband. He died of nothing. They found nothing in the autopsy. There was nothing wrong with him. He just simply. And in my belief system, we believe that when you've done all you are to do, learned all you are to learn, and taught all you are to teach, then you get to go home. Mm-hmm. And to my way of thinking, he had done, learned, and taught all he needed to do in his lifetime, and he got to go home. The next day when my brother called to tell me that my mom had died, I lost it for a while. Mm-hmm. I did start a blog online about, it's called Widow's Walk, about losing my husband. And everybody liked it so well. And I had these poetry books, and I knew Kirsten was starting a publishing company. And so I went to her and I said, do you think these are any good? And her daughter, Chelsea, who's the co-owner, said, yes. So I'm like, okay, can we get them published? And when I was younger, I used to think that when you published a book, you got rich. I've quickly been disabused of that idea. That does not happen.
Yeah.
But I get to write. I get to write, which is something I have done since I was 9 years old. So.
Yeah, that's well. If you love doing it, that's for the love of it, and it's the same people. We do music here, and it's, you know, people think if you release an album, like, oh my goodness, you must be rich. And it's like, no, but I tell people is if you can affect the life of one person, or have one person come to you and say, you know what, I read this and it's so great.
Exactly.
Or I listened to this song and it was amazing. And I'm sure you've had people come to you and, you know, in the book world, and I've had people come to me with this podcast or with music and say, you know what, I heard this song you did and it was really good. So thanks for doing that. And that just totally changes your day.
I have had the four cookbook memoirs that I have out there's 12 essays in each one about things that happened between the garden and the kitchen. And then they're basically memories of my growing up. Farm families have a lot of memories, and it is very interesting to me when I go to expos and things, the people that buy those books are usually older women and a couple of older men, because they like to read the essays. They like the recipes in the back, because those are from my grandmother's great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother's, but they like the stories, because I talk about, I remember getting hay up into the barn with the horses. They didn't have a conveyor at the time. Mm-hmm. They used the horses. And I remember that, and so I talk about those memories and going fishing with grandparents and things like that.
In your cookbooks, do you have, like, a favorite dish that you like to prepare?
Yeah, you know, when I was going through all the recipe boxes in my my Grandma Arlene's recipe box, there was one called Ma's Cheap Hotel Cake. And I knew that her mother had was a cook at a local hotel. And I thought, well, I'm not going to expect, I had to try all the recipes, obviously. So I thought, well, I'm not going to expect too much from this one. It was the best and easiest cake I have ever made in my life. And it was heavier. It was more like a pound cake.
Yeah.
And then I like to do the history. And the reason it's a heavier cake was because they didn't have sugar to make icing back then.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't, sugar wasn't something that you normally had. But you, if you had a heavier cake, you could put fruit on it. Whatever fruit was in season would cover this cake. And that's why the older recipes are for more of like a pound cake, a heavier cake.
I like the name of it. Cheap Motel Cake, you said?
Yeah, Ma's Cheap Hotel Cake.
So it's a little bit heavier of a cake, but what makes it so good? Is there fruit in it or on it, or what is it comprising?
No, there's
comprising?
Not. There's not fruit in it. I have no idea what difference it makes. But it is, like I said, it's the easiest cake I've ever had to make. And it was just really, really good. And then you put fruit on it, it's perfection. with a little bit of whipped cream.
Oh, sure. Well, you had me at cake, so I'm good to go on that. if somebody wanted to write a book and then publish a book, what advice would you say you would give to somebody?
Write. You need to write every single day. I have a jar upstairs next to my computer with slips of paper in it, and they all have one or two words on them. And what I do is when I can't think of something to write, I reach in there, grab a slip of paper, and I make myself write two paragraphs of whatever that is. And that is the type of determination that you need in order to write a book. You need to be able to write every single day on everything. And then you write your book. And then Kirsten taught me this, you read it to yourself out loud. By doing it out loud, you hear the things that need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the way the words don't quite sound right. When I need a comma here, or I need to take a comma out. I need to take away. I'm horrible with exclamation points. The editor and I have this conversation every book I do. take out the exclamation point.
Yeah.
But read it to yourself and then edit it. Do the changes and then read it to yourself again and again and again until you know, they are our children. They really are. And it hurts the first few times that you turn them over and the editor comes at you. And I love Raven. Raven Ekman is the editor that I use mostly at Fox Point, and I absolutely adore her. But we have had words.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she wants to change my children. And I'm like, But every change that she has suggested has made the books better. We've had a few that I've said nope because, and I always have a reason
mm-hmm.
for the way I want it done. And she's usually pretty amendable. If I give the reason why I want it the way I want it, then we may just come to a different conclusion than what she had and I had. It's a back and forth. You are not going to just write a book, hand it in, and get it published.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a good year to year and a half. Especially for children's books, it's even longer because of the illustrations you have to wait for. So it's not a fast process, and you're not going to get rich. It's just not going to happen. You get to write.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're anything like me, I have got two books in the Gray Valley series right now, Best Magic of All and Rose Gets Her Name. And the third one is with the illustrator right now, and that's Gluggle. And that was an instance of artistic license, perhaps, because Best Magic of All is about trolls, and Rose Gets Her Name is about fairies that live in Gray Valley. Well, this next one that's going to come out is about frogs that live in the valley and the things that they're going through. And Chelsea actually got hold of me, and she said, shouldn't we maybe make them water sprites or something? You've got to. I said, no, because my idea for the whole series is I want children to want to come to Gray Valley. I want them to want to visit Gray Valley. And trolls are kind of scary, and fairies are definitely something we like, but we're not too sure of. Frogs, everybody knows frogs.
Sure.
Frogs are something you can be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it won't scare the children away from Gray Valley. They're like, yeah, there's some scary things, but here's something that we know, so that's a good thing. We can come back to Gray Valley and visit. And that's the whole idea.
Well, you mentioned Raven Ekman. We're going to have her on in the spring, so that will be exciting to talk to her kind of about the editing process that they go through at Fox Point as well. Before I let you go, I have one sort of, fun softball question for you to end with, because my producers, I have two cats here in the studio, Macy and Shoshana, and they are always curious about if you have any pets, and if so, what are their names?
I have done in the past rescue cats. At one point, I had 42 out there.
Wow.
I had two in the house. I had to put my favorite baby, Callie, I had to send her to rest a few months ago. Mm. So the only one I have in the house right now is Mania, who is my husband's cat. Her and I have a love-hate relationship. And then outside, I have Jasmine, who is a brown tortie. And I have Floofy, who is a long-haired tabby. And recently, I acquired Oliver, or Ollie, who is a tiger and white, who all summer long I've just barely seen his tail, but slowly, 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 I've tamed him down to the point where I can now touch him while he's eating. I haven't got him to the vet yet.
Yeah.
But once I get him to the vet, he'll be neutered and he'll get his shots and things. And three is enough.
Yeah. Two is enough for me, especially when it comes to treat time. So, hey, Paula, you were a fantastic guest. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was very enjoyable.
Paula Basinger Moorhart, author with Fox Point Publishing. You can find out more about Paula and her books by visiting the website foxpointpublishing.com/author-Paula-Moorhart. And that is Moorhardt. This is the Trevor J. Brown Show.